Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chum, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community.
This is Season 14 of the White Book Podcast.
Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Props and Slops, also sort of kind of still occasionally known as the White Book. I'm Will, and I'm here with just Aaron this week. I'm not sure I could tell you the last time just the two of us did a podcast. I've definitely done casts with just Roy, but do you remember when it was last just us?
Yeah, it was over the summer at some point. I don't remember why, but we definitely did one over the summer.
Okay. Good. You got a better memory than me. Maybe it's because I drink beer while we podcast and you don't anymore.
I don't. I can't. I like if I have a beer on a school night, I just like go down. Being old sucks. I can still put them back like when I'm nice and rested. But if I'm not nice and rested, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed it makes a big difference with the the energy of like a group of people. Like I could go. Like this last Sunday, I hit up two different breweries, had, I don't know, probably like six different beers with some friends and stuff. I was riding high, you know, I was totally wide awake, got back here, bam, sleep on the couch.
Phew. I love a good after some drink and nap, but whenever I do, I wake up with bad neck pain. It's one of the joys. I hope people are enjoying listening to how goddamn old I've gotten.
Hey, we're all getting here at this point. I mean, the reason it's just you and I this week is because one of our illustrious trio is off celebrating his birthday right now. So happy birthday, Roy.
Happy birthday, Rogers.
Rogers.
In addition, I was sent visual proof that our favorite German David still listens. So screw you, Sam. You're dead to me. Hi, David.
There we go. We've still got them. And, you know, I'm curious to find out if Jason Tick is still listening. I know he held on for a long time. So, Jason, if you're listening, let me know.
I'm curious. Anyone who listens, find a way to get in touch with us at this point. I think it's adorable. We definitely still have listens. We can see, like, download numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious, like, if we know you. Like, are you, like, did you accidentally download us? Because you were like, oh, maybe they're going to talk about cards. And then you're like, I already cursed. Write it down, Will. And well, now you're like,
took Aaron Roy's not even 30 here. Seconds.
Hey, it's a new record. Like, Roy's not even here. Why am I doing this?
Oh, yeah. At this point, that's all folks are listening to or listening for. Roy's very calm, measured takes on things.
He is not calm and measured. I get him worked up at least three times an episode. It's phenomenal. Oh, it's so easy. Fact. Oh, and I have to be nice on snap judgments, right? Like, because I'm not trying to be a giant jerk on snap judgments yet. Yeah. I'm nice.
If any of you are listening to this that also listen to snap judgments, it's coming.
I mean, sooner or later. I throw it in there sometimes. Like, and Roy always knows when I'm just digging at him to be a jerk. And like he'll make a point, and I'll say, if I ask him three more questions about this, he's just going to start yelling, and it's going to.
And then he's the one that has to deal with editing that later if he chooses to. So
he could just not yell at me.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, since I'm intentionally trying to get him to, that would be sad. Imagine if he resisted one day. He was just like, "I'm not going to get upset at this." I'm like, "Oh, what do I do now?"
He's just over there chanting Goose Fraba to himself.
Mm-hmm. What is... Ah, okay. Sorry. I had a tweet bookmarked and I was very confused what it was. Hey, do you play Marvel Snap? I'm giving away 6 season passes. Find us on Twitter to check it out. I advertise that here.
Go right ahead.
So everyone who listens, like, this is my annoyance with my content right now. Like, my production values suck ass. It's me. I don't care.
Like the TikTok videos you're doing?
I mean, the TikTok videos aren't even effort. That's just me, like, accidentally, like, I record games sometimes that I think are cool, so I toss them up. I don't care if TikTok ever grows. I do the daily YouTube videos where I just sort of talk for a while. And, like, I know at this point in my life, I'm, like, a teacher. I'm a reasonably engaging talker. And people that listen, like the subs are, like, diehard fans, right? But, like, my click rate, because I have no design sense for thumbnails, is, like, fucking 0.1% nonsense. So, like, people see the video and then don't click it because I'm so bad at my thumbnails. And I'm just like, I will bribe you to try these videos. You will like them.
I'll pay you to watch my stuff.
Just watch it once. I don't care if you come back. You're going to come back. You will all come back. You like this shit. I'm good at talking about cards at the very least. Just, I've got so much practice.
I mean, if you're gonna do that, like, you might as well just start buying, like, legit ads, right?
Yeah, I'm lazy. We'll see. I'd rather just give things to people. I don't want to advertise
for sure.
Like, well, yeah, and also, like, so I've done, like, 2 or 3 smaller giveaways, and, like, a few of the people are from, like, other countries where, like, it's been really hard for them to be able to afford season passes and things. Like, I've given away, I think, 4 things, and 3 of the people from other countries. And one of the person was just like, man, I just don't have money, so I never buy it. I'm totally free to play. And these people are so happy with their season passes, right? Like, I can buy ads and probably do better, but that's, like, that's not how I do things. Right, like, I don't give a shit about failure. It's me. Like, it'll succeed or it'll fail, and I'm gonna go on with my life. And, like, Storybook Brawl died, right? Like I'll find another game if this shit doesn't work. I don't really care. Like, I'll be fine. Like, Throne's dying, nothing else is gonna hurt at this point. So, whatever, right? Like, if I'm gonna succeed, I'm gonna succeed doing it my way. And if I don't succeed, then cool. I gave it a good shot and I had some fun.
Yeah,
that's my theory, anyway. You know, if I do fail and I'm suddenly crying, then you can all make fun of me. Doesn't seem likely, but it's possible.
I mean, the internet at large definitely will. Those Twitter followers, they're going to turn on you. But, you know, the rest of us in the content creation game, as it will, we'll commiserate.
I mean, like, that's not how my experience in content creation has gone, right? Like, no one ever turned on the white book. No one ever turned on, like, no one turns on. Everyone's always like, you know, those listeners are vicious. And I'm like, are they? Like, Booker wasn't a listener. He was just a douchebag.
Yeah.
Right? Like the listeners that we cultivate are usually fairly positive, good people.
I think at least particularly on the LCG front, I feel like that kind of attracted a different sort of player base, like a little older, a little more established, maybe not quite as fiery, you know, Reddit tryhards that maybe something like Magic the Gathering attracts.
So I've got a little group chat. I think it's like it's like a private channel in our little corner of the SnapFam podcast. And it's like 13 now, like really small content creators that just like chat and bullshit and have fun. And like, you know, that's my speed, right? Like, just a bunch of people that are trying to make content they like and seeing if people find value in it. So like, I don't know. Like, again, if I succeed, if this blows up, it's cool. But like, yeah, this is really good for my mental health and it's giving me the like escape I need from the stresses of day to day life.
Yeah.
And anything else it does is
great. Are you making it for them or making it for you? And
yeah.
Yeah, that changes your perspective on it a lot, I think.
Yeah, very much agreed. And I'm me, so like, people who listen to Thrones content know I will do what I want and not really care what an audience wants. So like, I'm making content I think is good. Like, if someone's like, can you please do this, and I don't want to, then I'm not gonna. Like, people keep being like, you know, I'd really like to watch you play games, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think so, thanks though. Like, I don't see the value necessarily in it. I think that most people would be better at games, and like, a part of my argument has been borne true because everyone who hangs out in our Discord and plays these decks, they'll ask questions when they have them, right? But like, unless there's like something confusing, like play wait, you played enough. So like play wave on five is a thing. If no one's ever said that to you, you're not going to automatically know that. But like most decks don't have that. They're fairly like linear and self-explanatory. You're going to be better at that deck if you just pick it. Like if you listen to it, thought about it, know it's good, and then figure out why it's good yourself. And I think that like ability to teach, self-teach is more important than watching games and then trying to be KM best. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to think like, it was such a kind of like succinct sort of like heartfelt stance you've got there. That I was like, I don't know. Like, how do I add to this? I don't know what there is to.
I learned it from Thrones, right? Like, cause like your boy, Greg, my favorite person in the world, like you could watch him play those stupid decks for hours on end and you wouldn't learn shit about him, right? You could try.
I've been
right?
there.
Like,
yeah.
But, or like, and I've told this story even on like one of my favorite experiences in all of Thrones was I played Corey twice, DC Corey. Mm-hmm. Verity?
Whatever. Yeah, Verity.
Yeah. So I played him twice, and very rarely in my life if I felt like I'm stupid. And he just used cards, and I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing at this game. Like, I've won tournaments, I've beaten like some of the best players in the world, right? I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. He's so much better than him. This is completely ridiculous. Like, he could sit there and be like, you do this in this situation and that in that situation. I'm not going to learn that. That's his brain. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to have his brain because I watched him play some games. Like, instead, I have to have my brain and struggle. And I think that's important.
Yeah, not everybody's going to be there.
I told Roy that the compromise I might make is I might do one video per deck just so you can see it work. This is what it should look like. Good luck. Figure out when it doesn't. But like, I'm not sure if I'm making that compromise. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I mean,
I respect people asking for it. I just think it's wrong.
Right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a rush for you unless you're running out of other ideas.
It's me. No, what? Okay. Remember how many fucking topics? I came up with 7 topics for 3 different Thrones content things for like 7 straight years. Yeah, I'm fine.
That's impressive.
I've got a document with like 60 built up topics for Snap. That's the first day I decided to do the videos, I sat down and just wrote everything down. And that list of 60 is still there because every day I have a new idea and just do that instead. So I'm fine. Right. I'm not running out of content.
Yeah. I mean, having that kind of slush file, I'm jelly. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I mean, I can make you one for Thrones still. yesterday after the cast, we had like a 20-minute conversation trying to remember what golden... Excuse me. Sorry, I've been talking for a long time, Shree, because I just did a video. But we did... We spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what Golden Tooth Mine was, and I had to go down to Card Game DB and infect my computer with 15,000 viruses to find Golden Tooth Mines.
Why were you getting... Oh, you were going to the... Yeah, Card Game DB. Sorry, I was thinking of Thrones
Edition.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Card Game DB. So, like, I was trying to explain...
I still remember that card right off the top of my head. Easy. Because it was
I knew exactly what it did.
It was a card from the very first set, like, of the CCG.
I forgot the name. I remember I was a 2-cost non-unique location that when a plot was revealed drew a card. It was eventually changed to non-unique, and I believe eventually changed to unique, eventually restricted, and eventually changed to prized. But it started out as none of those and was broken. I love that card. But I was trying to explain why I like Thanos so much, and the endorphin hit I get literally every time I draw an extra card, and it's because of Golden Tooth Mines.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
there's an extra card is in your hand. You're just like, oh yeah, that just happened.
Yep.
I like draw.
It equals win, I've been told.
Oh yeah, less so in Snap because only 12 cards. It's still pretty good.
Yeah. I mean. It still happens. It's still a thing. You know, those last 3 cards that you don't normally see. If I had $1 for every time that was, you know, those last 3 cards had my Galactus or Thanos or something sitting in it, then, you know, I'd have a little bit of money. I don't know how much.
Well, fair enough. All right, let's talk about our actual podcast since we just did a half hour on my content creation theories for reasons. Did I close? How'd you feel about the end of Mando?
Mando was okay. I think it was really emblematic of a lot of the issues with kind of Disney Star Wars in general, and in particular, whatever's going on with Favreau in like the writer's room and to some extent directors, like, and whatever writers he has backing him up, polishing things. There were a lot of individual scenes this whole season and in the final episodes that, like, the scene felt very Star Wars, or like the imagery did, you know, oh, here's this momentous, you know, shot that like evokes that feeling. But they're so bad at the connective tissue to make everything, like to make all of those shots kind of hang together properly, that it's growing to bug me.
I think I mostly agree. I also think that it felt like it was almost the same as the end of like last season.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid retread of a good bit of it.
Which is like the Star Wars way. Just do A New Hope 15 times, right?
At this point, yeah. Speaking of that retread, that is one of the things, or relates to one of the things that bugs me, is I feel like Moff Gideon was kind of a waste. I had this pointed out to me last week that he's just a Saturday morning cartoon villain. Like, he's Skeletor. And on the one hand, yes, that sort of fits for like Star Wars. But on the other hand, even Saturday morning cartoon storytelling has moved beyond just, look, we're going to tell you how scary this guy is, but the heroes are going to defeat him every single week. Like, and you kind of quit caring. Like, even Rebels does villains way better than that. So it's kind of disappointing when I really stop to think about Gideon.
I mean, what was the hook of this season? Are they going to get Mandalore back? Like, is there a special reason I care about this random planet? Like, there's not like there's a shortage of planets. Like, why do I care if they're staying in this
random planet that theoretically our two main characters aren't even staying on, aren't doing anything with? Which, by the way, comes about 30 minutes of our time after Din mentions that, like, he's going to serve Sabine Bo-Katan until her, like, story is done or whatever it was he said. Like, that feels weird.
It was... So, you know my claim about Star Wars, right? Do you remember it?
Oh, no, I don't now.
Star Wars is bad, and the only reason we like it is nostalgia. Like, I don't think there's been a good Star Wars, like, an actually good Star Wars thing outside of... I didn't watch Rebels, so maybe Rebels, but outside Clone Wars, which was released stupidly in like a good 40 years.
You should watch Rebels. Rebels is legit, I think.
I watched the first chunk of it. It felt very young. Like, after Clone Wars, it felt much younger, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Like, well, okay, then latter Star Wars, Clone Wars. Yeah, okay, I could kind of see that.
So, like,
I feel like it starts in a similar place that Clone Wars starts, though.
So I watched Clone Wars with a weird view list, so I don't know.
Was it Ritter's list?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's a good list.
So, like, I don't know how that works, but, like, Clone Wars felt like it was fairly, like, it wasn't, I mean, it was a Star Wars story, but it wasn't really a Star Wars story. It was just telling the story of a war.
Right, right.
They was telling a bunch of war stories and then plugging Star Wars characters into it, more or less. It was Garth Ennis comics with Star Wars characters.
Oh, it was way better than an Ennis comic. Good
luck. No, Ennis war comics are great.
I have a hard time at this point in my life thinking of any Ennis comic that is objectively good.
So you probably didn't read them because he did them like around the same time as Preacher and Hitman, but like he had these like small self-contained little war comics he would do that would just be like about a troop in Vietnam, and one of them would be get captured and then the rest would have to like rescue.
No, I
and like I and there were just these tiny little war stories, and they were always about brotherhood, and they were always completely phenomenal.
Huh, that does not sound like Ennis. Would yeah, you describe he, that?
I mean, look, he wrote them. I don't know what to tell you, but they were there.
Interesting.
And they were okay. All really like they were simple, like bro-y stories, but like not bro-y, that's not right. But like we survive this because we are brothers and we'll die for each other. Type
right,
shit.
Right. You know Gladiator I mean? Which is, style
bros. Yeah, which is
not,
like yeah, yeah,
not like locker room bros.
Right, right. Yeah. Like 300.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, but that's what a lot of Clone Wars was. Like I like Anakin being like, I must go save whatever my troop is because they're my troop, and thus, right, like that kind of shit, right?
A lot of that loyalty,
yeah,
sort of thing. Okay,
yeah, loyalty and family. Like, and it's a fast movie. Family, yeah. They're my family.
Oh, jeez, you're right. Oh my goodness, you're right.
But yeah, like that.
Honest to goodness. Whoever is like involved in making the Fast movies these days, I would be willing to let them try their hand at a Star Wars film. I really would.
I mean, Star Wars needs something fun, right? When's like it's
nearly to that level with those films now. Like, if you just told me some of that crazy stuff was the Force, like I would just buy it. I would roll with it totally.
So but even more than that, like, okay. Forget when the last good Star Wars movie property was. When was the last fun one? That was just fun, that you had fun watching.
It was fun.
Like, because Andor was apparently incredible. My wife
didn't get
through it. But, like,
I had fun. I had a lot of fun with Mandalorian Season 1.
Okay, that's fair.
That's probably the last one. Yeah.
Like, I really like Rogue One, but it's not fun.
No, it's not. And I had some fun with Solo, but it kind of kept trying to get in the way of itself due to its development.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, I don't know. I watch Mandalorian now because I watch Mandalorian, not because I like Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which is how I do everything Star Wars related now. Yeah. Which is why
people are like, because we've got to come here and talk about it.
Yeah. I blew off House of Dragon.
Well, yeah, which honestly, I still say it was good. It was actually good.
You know what? Much like the Garth Ennis comics I enjoyed, I'm just going to take your word for it.
Okay, that's fair. I can't complain about that.
Hey, but you know what is good?
Ted Lasso?
Yes, but not this episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wait, Ted Lasso. The Netherlands one.
Yeah. No, I wasn't sure if you meant you were actually going to transition to one of your other ones.
Oh, no, I just was going to transition to Ted Lasso and be like, I love Ted Lasso. But
yeah,
I thought that episode was the equivalent of the last season's Christmas episode, where it was just too schmaltzy.
Yeah, a little schmaltzy, a little kind of disjointed from the overarching narrative in some ways. Like, here, we're gonna put a pause on all the rest of this pathos. And kind of give you guys a palate cleanser sort of thing.
Also, how dissatisfying is the Zava storyline?
Oh, what a waste of a great actor from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's clearly why they messed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why they got rid of him so quickly. Like, it feels like a bummer from like the way I wanted the story of the season to go and the types of things I wanted it to explore with Zava, and, you know, kind of Ted's relationship with him and to coaching the team and whatever. But I think it lines up very well with your theory from Good Grief, probably about the second episode that you thought Ted was going to be fired by the end of the season. So no, like,
that was Roy's.
It was Roy's. Oh, I thought that was yours.
Mm-hmm. No, that was Roy's.
But, you know, it's just another blow there, you know, Bane about to break Ted's back, so to speak. So
no, they're going to win the next game. Ted's stupid idea with the triangles is going to work.
Total soccer invented by the Dutch in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's gonna work.
That was amusing. There were some good moments in that.
Yeah, no, like it's Ted Lasso. It's never gonna be terrible, right? Like, yeah. I really enjoyed
Jamie and Roy and their bike.
Jamie and Roy was hilarious. That was just delightful. Look, Jamie and Roy can just give me a buddy show with them.
Yeah, I do like the place that they have come to, and it has felt very believable as the seasons have gone. So I liked that. You know, thinking about it, the episode before that, I admit now I'm having trouble remembering most of the things that happen in that one. But
where they get really beat up and violent, right? And he retires at the end.
Oh yeah. And Zava retires. Yes. Okay. That was that episode. Yes. Because that was also the episode with Nate, and mm-hmm. the girl at the restaurant whose name now escapes me. And I have to say though, I have some real qualms about the way the show is portraying things with that whole interaction. So initially when we kind of see Nate and his interactions with her, it's kind of viewed through the lens of it feels like us watching Nate try to kind of find his voice, find his spine, as it were, and kind of stand up for himself to ask the girl, to eventually ask the girl out, all this sort of thing, right? And then theoretically now, maybe there's kind of some weird overlay about Nate always, you know, choosing the wrong role models and ways to interact with people and whatever. But the show still seems to frame it as a positive, like the music used in the scene and the way that whole thing is framed is like, oh, isn't this like so sweet? You know, he stood up for the restaurant and, you know, now her icy veneer is cracked or whatever, and she's going to give him a chance. But like, that feels so manipulative to me, I think, because Nate has made it clear, in fact, when he got there for that date, made it clear he and his family have been coming there for years, for every like big occasion, anniversaries, birthdays, whatever. Like, they are frequent flyers at that restaurant. Yeah. That girl knows who she is, or who he is, sorry, and is deliberately being a dick to him initially. Like,
yeah, it's all very stupid. I mean, look, I don't have a better way to say it. It's just very, very stupid. Like, I'm hoping that she's not what turns him around.
Yeah,
because I think what they're going for is that the reason she was so mean to him is because she could tell that he was a shitty person, right? And now, like, she's going to turn him back. And, like, there's no way to have told he was a shitty person before he started being a shitty person.
Exactly.
So it's dumb.
Yeah. What a mess. And then, of course, there's some issues with Keeley and Jack and the whole, hey, that's your, like, boss business.
Oh, yeah.
That gets awkward there, too. So relationships are real weird this season. I don't know if I love all of that.
I mean, hey, look, obviously the show does not care about that kind of weird relationship thing.
Yeah, that's true. It played it off pretty quickly with Sam and Rebecca as well.
I mean, yeah, that's accurate. I don't know.
I guess it sort of feels
fine with
like
that episode outside of that.
Yeah.
I was bleh on the next episode.
Yeah. I guess where I am with it in general is a bit like my favorite line of Boromir's from The Lord of the Rings. Gondor wanes, you say, but even the end of its strength is still very strong. Ted Lasso's losing its way, you say. Even then, it is still very funny.
It is a very good show. Although, I like this season less than I did Drinking.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I still need to try shrinking.
Yeah, you would love it.
Yeah.
But no. You like it's perfect for you. You would absolutely love it. It's fine. You still haven't seen everything ever all at once.
That's true. I have not.
Nowhere. All at never.
Accurate.
All right. Let's move on. I'm trying to keep us moving since you informed us. Peek behind the curtain. He muted us to be like, we're on a time limit. Hurry.
My bad. I didn't sort out the new subscription plans.
So we got to keep moving.
All right. Well, the other items we have listed are yours. So why don't you lay some Mulaney on me? Because I do love Mulaney. Gosh, I can't talk.
So I went to see a Mulaney stand-up show. I don't know. Before one of my friends had a baby because she was very pregnant. That's all I really got. But we went to see Mulaney at, I want to say, Radio City. And I think that show that I was at is now a Netflix special.
I did see this week that a new special has dropped on Netflix. So it's that mm-hmm. one. Okay.
Yeah, it is in fact that one. So, yeah, it's very doable. It's very, very doable. There's nothing else to really say about that. It's very funny. It's not the same comedy he's done for all of his other stand-up at all.
Oh.
It's like he tells a bunch of personal stories about his life going through rehab and, yeah, all the stuff that happened when his life fell apart and his addiction. That is the subject of it. It is, as the subject suggests, often really, really dark, but he is still an incredibly funny person. And I think I mostly end up liking him still at the end. But I'll be completely honest, it is my least favorite of his specials by a lot.
Okay. I mean, that's understandable. Anything that gets too introspective like that can be a mixed reaction, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good, but not great.
Thinking about that though, I did
Or watch it's it. Great, but not for me, which is also possible.
That's also true. It's no Inside, I'm sure though. Which I need to watch again. I did just think though I almost forgot there was a comedian I had not run into before. I did watch his special last weekend, I think it was. Bert Kreischer, I think is his last name. Something close to that. Kind of a chubby-ish middle-aged guy who spends 99% of his set without a shirt on.
So just perfect for you. You and Kristen got it on right after, huh?
No, she was out of town. I needed some me time.
So you just were like, oh, let's rub that one out. Okay, got it.
Yeah. No, he gets very kind of frenetic in his delivery. But it's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's a very tame or wholesome comedy, but it's not offensive either. It's, a good bit of it is devoted to parent teacher organization, grudge holding and things like that. Just petty annoyances and stuff that he kind of presents in a pretty over the top way. So yeah, I dug it. I'd suggest watching it to other folks.
Cool. Last thing to talk about. Miss Maisel's last season is underway. It remains a very, very, very good show. Stupidly charming, really entertaining. There's a weird framing sequence on episodes where it's in the future and it's her kids at therapy and shit like that.
Oh,
and her
wow.
visiting her son and her being interviewed and things like that. I don't love it. But framing device aside, the actual episodes themselves remain excellent, consistently excellent.
About how far through the season is it?
I want to say 5 or 6 episodes, so it should be almost done. I think there's 12 in this season, but I could easily be wrong. I actually think I'm thinking of Ted Lasso with 12 episodes this season, now that I say it out loud. But Miss Maisel is a great, great show. And I know it's a hit, but it's not a big enough hit because it's a great, great show.
Yeah, I've been hearing from some folks that this season is about their favorite so far. So that seems like high praise.
Yeah. The first season is my favorite, but after the first season, this is up there. It is high quality.
Nice.
Have you watched it?
I have not. There's just so much to keep up with. That one is
never. Could have done that with your me time.
I know, but how many Canadian. Like sweaty, shirtless, middle-aged men are in Miss Maisel?
A lot.
Oh, well,
like a reasonable number for sure.
A reasonable number. I love that because that number can be wildly different for all of our listeners, let alone just for you and I.
So, like, it is definitely more than like two or three.
Okay.
You should watch it. It's great.
I do need to check that out.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to
be done.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. I'm going to end with one parting note. I just have to throw out there. I don't know if it's a prop or a slop. It's just personally bummed. Of all the things in the world, I think I mentioned I was kind of paying attention to the XFL reboot this year. And watching games written on the St. Louis Battlehawks and all, and them missing out on the playoffs on like a 1 point, like in division score differential tiebreaker is just the pits. So anyway,
sorry about your XFL team, I guess. The Rock appreciates your support.
Exactly.
And you know what The Rock smells cooking?
The danger zone?
Perfect. We'll be right back.